Okay. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Sometimes this year happens like the day or two before Pesach, so it's a little nicer, a little more space right now before this year and Yontif. I always like to, I'll say this. The Seder is not, well, on the one hand, the Seder is, can we close those doors, actually? You don't want people to come in, but you're going to hear it. Actually, leave it open until the Shulchan. But the Seder is probably the night when there is the most learning that goes on in Klal Yisrael, probably the whole night, the whole year. It's not Shavuos night. There's a very small percentage of the Jewish people who learn all night Shavuos night. There's a very, very large percentage of the Jewish people, probably this year, probably more than ever, I would imagine. More people going to a Seder who maybe didn't go to a Seder last year, probably coming to a Seder this year. And there's going to be more conversation that goes on at the Seder, you know, I think, than there's a lot of learning. However, and that's good. And we like that. That being said, the Seder is not, even though I'm going to give you a shiur now of Vortz and Divrei Torah for the Seder is not fundamentally about Divrei Torah. Right? It's not fundamentally about kids reading things off the sheets. It's not fundamentally about that at all. It's fundamentally about a conversation. And that it is about a conversation, though. And the goal for me of giving this year is not to say, like, first of all, it's, you know, if you like these vorts and they're good for just inspiring us to a meaningful Pesach, that's great. But if they're used, if we're going to use them at the Seder, which is part of the goal is to be ideas that we use to inspire conversation. Right, that's really the goal. Everyone just shoots off a word. Oh, nice word. Next. So that's nice. But it's not really the goal. Right? Because really the goal is to have a conversation. And that's with adults. That's with little children. Whoever it is that we're talking to, it's to have a conversation. And I think sometimes we feel like we're not enough. We're not able to do that. How am I going to have lead a conversation? If I'm leading the Seder, how am I going to lead a conversation on the fundamentals of faith, etc.? How am I supposed to do that? I'm not trained in that. So, hey, yeah, that's part of what this year is about. But also, I think Rabbi Penner likes to point out that that you don't really have to be a Talmid Chacham or be some special professional teacher to have a conversation in your house about what happened on the night of Pesach and how that matters in our lives today. We can all do that. Rabbi Eliel Lapian writes that there was a Talmid Chacham in Kelm who would tell over the story that he was at his grandfather's Seder. And his grandfather would sit down and say, like, he'd open the Haggadah, and he would say, I'm sitting down and having a Seder, and my neighbors down the street are having a Seder, and everybody in our town is having a Seder, and Jews across the world are having a Seder. And how can they all do it? We're not all, like, experts in leading the Seder. And the answer is because, he's like, I don't know, because my Zaidi led a Seder, and his Zaidi led a Seder. And because that's what we do. We know how to talk. We're okay at that. We know how to fight. We know how to have conversations. And we can do it. And I think the first part is to recognize that we can do it. We're fine. We'll be fine. We can all do this. And there's no, like, yeah, there's certain things you have to do to fulfill the mitzvah of Magid, Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Okay, so you do that, you'll be fine. You'll fulfill the mitzvah. But to do it well just means to have the patience to sit and have a conversation. And to be willing to listen to each other, give people a chance to talk, and to say something meaningful. And I think as long we should remember that we don't have to do it perfect, we don't have to get just the right word, but whatever we can say to have meaningful conversation, we're doing our job. So I'll share with you a few ideas. Some of them I may have said before. A few of them are brand new. I mean, brand new to me. And we'll take it from there. So There's a Haggadah called the Haggadah Asapra Kvodecha, which says the following idea, which I think is the right vort for this year, the first idea for this year. Shalom Echa Bilvar Amar Alein Lechal Oseinu. Right? We're all going to sing V'hisha Amda with a little extra gusto, I think, this year, right? Shalom Echa Bilvar Amar Alein Lechal Oseinu, right? Which translated actually means there is not only one who got up to destroy us. It wasn't only Paro, right? But rather, right? They always, everybody does, right? So this Haggadah has a beautiful vort, right? Mem Rezu Shal Bal Haggadah Bi'ara Tzadik Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter Migur, the Ger Rebbe, the Baal Sfas Emes. And he said, Shalo Echad, Biglal Zeh She'in Anu Mu'uchadim, Kulanu Ki'ish Achad, Shalom Echad. When we're not Echad, Bilvad. Zuha Siba Yichida. It's the only reason. Sha'am Marleinu Chanoseinu. And they're able to attack us. Right? If we are Echad, right? If we're Echad Bilvad, all we need to do is be Echad, and they won't be able to stand up against us. But Shalom Echad Bilvad. If we're not, then that's the thing that allows them to stand against us. Right? Davar Ze Yachal Chalila Lahamid Aleinu. Clear, right? That's going to be that's the thing that puts us in danger. Shalom echad bilvad vad amarlinu chaloseinu. If we would remember to be united, so then we'd be okay. No one would come to get us, and we know that way better right now than we've known it in a very long time. Source number two is an idea from Rabbi Sacks. I think I'm going to tell you 10 ideas. I think that's the goal. We'll see. Idea from Rabbi Sacks in source number two. Rabbi Sacks writes as follows: what makes this night unlike all other nights? The Torah speaks of children asking questions on Pesach. And if your children should ask you, what is this service to you? Ma'avda azos lachem. So you're going to tell him, etc., etc., etc. From this tradition, infer that the story of the Exodus from Egypt must be told, wherever possible, in response to the questions asked by a child. That's why the whole night, what all we do, why do we do this? So the children will ask, and we laugh and make jokes about it. Right? Oh, why do I do this? So the children will ask, It's true. It's the point. It's not so the children ask, then what do we tell them? Because you're doing silly stuff, so the kids are going to ask. The answer is, why do we do this? So the kids will pay attention, they'll start asking questions, and we can have a conversation with them, right? That's the goal. And the actual rule, right, is that the difference, one of the differences between the mitzvah of Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim, that just the mentioning and noting Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we do every single night, day and night in the Shema, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that the Sipur, the story we tell the night of the Seder, has to be Bederech She'ela V'tshuva. It has to be people ask questions, and we give answers. That's the framework for how the night goes. The Torah has two words for inheritance, Yerusha and Nachala, and they represent the two different ways in which a heritage is passed on across the generations. The word Nachala comes from the root Nachal, which also means river. It represents an inheritance that is merely handed out. It literally flows on its own, right? Without any work on the part of the recipient, as water flows in a river. Yerusha, by contrast, means active inheritance. Rav Shimshon Farhirsch pointed out at La Reshet, The verbal form of Yerusha sometimes means to conquer or capture, right? La reshes es haaretz hazos, we talk about, right? That the goal when we go into Eretz Yisrael is la reshes, to conquer the land. It's the same word as the word Yerusha, which just means inheritance, right? It means actively taking hold of what one has been promised. An inheritance for which one has worked is always more secure than the one for which one has not. That is why Judaism encourages children to ask questions. When a child asks, he or she has already begun the work of preparing to receive. Torah is a Yerusha, not a Nachala. It needs work on behalf of the child if it needs to be passed on across the generations. More important, I think, also now than ever, for our children who are less and less and less accustomed to working hard, less and less accustomed to having to struggle, to have to work at something, to have it not come instantly. And the goal, part of the goal of the Seder to engage them is to allow them to ask questions and maybe also to ask them difficult questions and ask them how they would manage that. What do we do with this? How do we deal with that? Right? Asking them and questioning them and actually challenging them is part of the goal. I was coming home. I was driving Gabriel, who's almost 8. We were driving home from baseball on Sunday, and he says to me, "Abba, how do you know there's Hashem?" And I was like, "Yo." Okay. But like, it just like, so we talked about it. But like, that it just like, it reminded me, like, it's a natural thing in kids, right? That curiosity, that inquisitiveness, is that a word? I don't know. That is something natural in young children, but it's also natural to get older. And as we get older, sometimes we become, you know, jaded to that. So tapping into the questioning and who said things are supposed to be a certain way, right? What, being willing to ask the questions, not to be afraid of them, and not to be afraid when a kid asks that type of question is also important, right? Because there's that kid also at the Seder who's going to say, "Yeah, why do we believe in God? Like, who said?" Right? And that's an important question to hear and to give answers to, but also not to run from and not to get scared when they ask it, right? Again, you're enough to run the Seder. It's okay. And you have help, probably. So, like, it's okay. Go after it. Don't run away from it. When they ask the question, that's the Yerusha. That's how they're working at it, by going after the questions. Okay. Good. Okay. The next idea, speaking of which, if you have questions or things you want to say, feel free to bring them up. But okay, fine. Okay, source number three. You're like, just give me some ideas. Let's go. Source number three is a beautiful Haggadah called Vihigadata, with Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. I have two vorts here from here. I think I've shared a couple of these before. These are really, I love these vorts. It's very beautiful stuff. He tells the following. I think that these ideas will be in order. Some of them may not be, I don't know, but we'll see. But pretty much in order. So in the four questions, so we ask, right, every night, we have chametz and matzah, tonight only matzah. But svarim perishu. In the svarim they explain, shechametz and matzah hein otan otziot. Chametz and matzah are the same letters. Well, they're not exactly the same letters, except for what? The chet has got to be cut off to become a hey, right? But elashav chametz ches ubematza hey uma hevdal ben hey laches. What's the difference between a hey and a chet? Mashehu, right? Just a small little space, that small little piece. She sotem regel hey v'hof chalachet. To turn the hey into the chet just takes a little something very small. Hare remez lachametz b'mashehu. So that's a remez to the idea that we have a rule in general. We talked about this last week. Right, yeah. That once Pesach comes, once there's no bittul of chametz. Chametz, once it gets mixed into something, it's aser b'mashehu. The smallest amount of chametz, you don't have, 60, 100 to be mivatel it. Fine. But he says, v'yesh kan rayon amok. There's actually a very deep idea here. Kishachata Adam arishon. When Adam sinned, goresh mi Gan Eden, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. Ubegerusho nigzar alav v'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lacha lacha adama. Right, what was the rule? What we told about him now, you're going to work hard, and what's going to happen? Even as you work hard, it's going to be thorns and thistles will come up from the ground. Right, so that was the curse of Adam Rishon. Uperish ha-bnei Yisachar, the Bnei Yisachar explains, sheyesh shtei otiyot domot zu lazu, dalid and resh. Right, the dalid and the resh are almost exactly the same. Right? V'ahevdal b'neihem, what's the difference? Kotz echad, just a little thorn, right? A little something, right? Hazavit shebirosh hadalad, that little piece on the edge of the dalad. V'lachein b'shmai Yisrael Hashem l'kinei Hashem ha'echad hadalad rabasi. The dalad is big in the Torah, right? Right, and we actually have a minog to say Hashem l'kinei Hashem ha'echad and just emphasize the dalad. We're going to talk about later. Also, right, to emphasize the dalad. When the pasuk says, "Don't bow down to another god, a god who is acher," and the word echad, right, it's one and acher, another, not God, right. The only difference is that little tiny piece, right. And in acher, resh rabasi, the resh is big. Shaloi babalu, we shouldn't make a mistake, right? So that specifically, even in the way you write it in the Torah, you write the dalet big of echad and the resh of acher big. Why? Because you shouldn't make a mistake. And by accident, say Hashem Akenu Hashem Acher, right? Or Lo Tishta Chavel El Echad, right? That'd be a mistake. You don't want to do that. Ki Adam Tzarich Lishkol Koma Asav. Okay, so what's going on here? Person has to pay attention to their actions. Hayim Hei Mitzad Hakadusha La Hashem Echad, or Mei Sitra Achra El Acher. Right? Is the things that I'm doing, are they for Hashem or are they for other gods? Ve'Arma Kadosh Baruch Hu Me'Acha Ve'Achalta Me'Eitz Hadas Tovara. What happened now when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara? Hakol hitarev etzlacha. Resh v'dalad. The resh and dalad got mixed up. You're not sure what to do. Right? What are my choices? How am I choosing? I can't decide what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. Vahevdo b'neihem hu kiminyan kotz. All it is, the difference is just the word kotz. V'zehu kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. Right? Why does the pasuk say? What happens? Hashem says, what's Adam Yev from the Etzadas? You didn't listen to me. And what happens? Before you were Emes v'sheker, you knew what was right and what was wrong. Once you ate from the Tzadas, everything got mixed up. So what happens? Kotz v'dardar. Now everything you do is going to come out murky. You're not going to know what's what. The difference between the dal and the resh. Okay? And he says, v'zehu sha'amru sha'olam hazeh domo l'layla. That's what we mean when we say that the world is like a dark place. The world is like nighttime. U'perish, Mr. Shasham explains, right? Sh'choshech ein adam yodea ma'alafanav. If a person's walking around in the dark, so what happens? I get mixed up. I don't know what I'm looking at, right? If you're walking in the dark, you can be confused. Choshev al amud shu adam, al amud adam shu amud. Sometimes I think a pole is a person. I think a person is a pole. I don't know where I'm going in the middle of the dark, right? Ubezara kadosh amru shebalil haseder heir halayla kayom. Vezehu halayla hazeh kulo matzah. So what happens? The nighttime of the Seder, right? The Seder is at night, right? But what happened the night of the Seder? We say, Laila Kayom Yair. At the night of the same time, all of a sudden what was dark became light. All of a sudden things that were so murky and not able to understand, everything became clear. So what's going on? So that's why we say halayla hazeh kulo matzah. What do we mean? Bechol hashana kula alul haadam lachlif bin achiyev l'shlila bin eretzui l'dechui. All year we make mistakes, right? We don't know. Like, do we do the right thing? Do we do the wrong thing? We can't decide. We get driven by our desires or our worries or our fears, right? Bein or l'choshech. We don't know how to choose the right things. Bein dale l'resh. Bein chametz l'matzah. Right? We don't know how to make the distinction. Aval halayla hazeh kulo or. Right? When it comes to the daytime, when it's light out now, what happens? Everything is clear. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. You sit at the Seder, you have a certain, like, understanding and clarity of what Judaism is all about, what my life is about. You feel the sense of like, right, that's why we do all this. That's why we're here, right? And all of a sudden, you don't have the concern, chametz matzah, which one? Kula matzah. Everything's clear. I know exactly what it is, right? Yodi ma tov ma chiyuvi umaratzui kula matzah. And the truth is, it goes even further than that, in the sense that if you flip it sideways for a second, it explains more the matzah part. All right, nosif and nomar chametz umatzah hein otan otiot. Again, chametz and matzah are the same letters. El sheba chametz ches ubematzah hey ha chametz romez liyitzahar. What do we say? Chametz is the soar sheba isa. The chametz is things get mixed in to the dough that makes things right. It makes this gaivadik. It makes whatever. But it's a rising sense of a person, right? That's the Yitzhar, right? V'amatzah michla dehemnusa, right? And matzah is, it's the bread of emuna, right? What was the matzah? Matzah was, Hashem's taking us out. We're out of here. We're just going to go. Where are we going? We don't know. But we're just going to do it because He said so. Right? We just follow. That's what matzah is all about, right? Shavui adam b'chavlei ha-yitzhara. A person typically is caught up in the Yitzhara. U'maya se l'cholel et ha-ma'apach. How am I going to get out of there? Atseis mi'chashecha lo'ra. Yavkia Pesach Tzar. I have to open a little space. I want to get out of the chametz. I want to become matzah. What do I have to do? All you need is a masho. Right, open up that little door. Right, do something positive. Do one extra good thing. Right, ukvar havcha haches lehei. All of a sudden, the chametz becomes matzah. Right, by opening and doing one small thing. Ka'amrum pischuli Pesach kichudo shalmechet ani eftach lachem kepischa sheudon. And Kosh Baruch Hu says, if you open the door for me a little bit, all of a sudden I make it wide open for you, right? And so the point being that the laila hazek kulo matzah. The point is that chametz and matzah all year we're kind of mixed up. We don't know what we want. We don't know where to be. And the night of the seder kulo matzah. It's kind of simple. Things make a lot more sense. I just know what I'm supposed to be. I know who I am. I know what kind of person I want to be. And we have that opportunity to do so in that moment. So that's halal as a kula matzah. Okay. One idea from Rukolinsky. Okay. He says one other idea also. And this is when we sit at the Seder, right? And we say, Kodichvin yesei v'yecho. Everybody who wants to eat, come on in. And everyone asks the kasha. What's the question? It's a very bad time to invite somebody in. It's kind of like, you want to come over for the Seder? You know, like, I have to do it. Like, come on, give me a break. That's a joke. That's not a real invitation. It's not a real invitation, right? Right. It's the best of invitation, right? You invite because you know someone's already busy, right? So you can get it in, right? So like, right? So that's terrible. What does that mean? So clearly that's not what's happening here, right? It's not really an invitation. So there's a zillion answers to this question. What's the invitation all about?
You need minuits. You have to have already been appointed.
If it was the Korban Pesach, yes. Ah, so good, excellent. So take a look. So he writes, lo muvan. I don't understand. Halo afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal she yesef. And even the poorest person, right, can't eat until they're ready to lean to have what they need. Right, even the poorest person, what do they have? So they have exactly the three matzahs that they need. So this is his kasha. His kasha is a little different. His kasha is people, right? If you're not a wealthy person, so what do you have at the Seder? So you have very little. You have your three matzahs, right? Tell these stories in the Holocaust where people had to like get one matzah or a second matzah, right? Just to have something, right? Lechem oni beprusa v'tachtona lekorech. So I have three matzahs, but the three matzahs are they're all taken already, right? V'hu posech etz haseder ba'amro kodich v'yesev yecho. What are you talking about? Let's say I only have three matzahs. So what am I going to do? How am I going to get other people? How am I inviting somebody else? I won't be able to fulfill the mitzvos. V'naniach. Shadelas tiftach vani kanes. And let's say, you called out, called Dichon Yesiv Yechad. Let's say someone comes in. Right? What are you going to give him? Hare ein lo ela shalosh matzot. Semehen shnei kezesen la motzi, because I asked the korech, which I'm not the komen. Right? Umani shar, nothing's left. You're going to use them all up for yourself. So you won't even have anything to share with anybody else. So what are you inviting everybody in? You may not even have enough. So some people might, but not everyone does. And by the way, and everybody has to say this. So, you have to, so this has to apply to everyone. Tshuva, what's the answer? I love this. Kashiyesh ani nitzrach. So let's say an ani would come in. Hanach es kol achumus. Get rid of all your stringencies. V'yistapek, because zayis matzah. The end of the day, how much matzah do you have to eat to fulfill your mitzvah to seder? This much. Okay, your palm. That's a kazayis. Okay, that's how much is a kazayis. Don't use the sheets in the. Whoever came back, got someone came back from Israel, right? So you're gonna have a sheet of it, right? Okay, Rabbi Willick. Okay, this much. That's a kazayis. Okay, we are machmir. We have two: one for motzi, one for matzah, one for korech, one afikomen, two for afikomen. So we have five kazayisim at the seder. Okay, but. So if you want to know how to measure like this. But his point is, in the end of the day, the ikar mitzvah, how much does it take? How much does it take the ikar mitzvah? One kezias. So he says, how can I invite somebody? I only have enough for my five kezias. And the answer is, so if someone else comes in, you'll have only one kezias. And you won't fulfill it. You won't fulfill the hitter mitzvah. You'll fulfill less. And you'll get your own, you'll get one kezias and that's it. Right? And he says, fine. So I think that is so. He writes Kayot Bekach Vayachal Noach Isha Adama V'Yitake. Right, Noach after the flood, what does Noach do? Noach plants a vineyard, right? And people ask the Kasha V'Darshu Bo Shenasu L'Chulin, right? Umit Tzadik Tamim Hayal Isha Adama, like that Noach like lost himself, right? Noach all of a sudden went from this tzadik person to an Isha Adama, right? Because he first thing he did was plant a vineyard. Umbadua Lama No Marsha Hayta Kavanato L'Shemayim L'Dayin L'Kiddush. And why is everyone so angry at Noach? Say Noach was planting a vineyard so he could have wine for Kiddush. That's nice, right? You can tell me he wasn't Jewish. Okay, fine. The drasha. Okay? But what's the answer? I love this. V'atshuva, shebavadei hayta kavana tol yayin Kiddush. You're right. Maybe Noach had in mind to make Kiddush. That's why he planted a vineyard, so he can make Kiddush. However, avayim ha'olam charev, if the world's been destroyed, al tachshav al chumris, don't be so machmir. What can you also use for Kiddush? Tizrachita. Right? Instead, he should have planted a wheat field. Uh-huh. And what about Kiddush? And so you can make Kiddush on bread, if you have to. Right? Don't be such a chumrinik. Be there first to take care of other people. So Kodich ben Yesev Yecho says, even if you're right, you won't have enough. Even if a poor person would not have enough. And how can they invite somebody in? The answer is, we can always invite somebody in. And you know what's going to happen? I'll take away a little bit from my chumras, and I'll do the Ikra then. And I'll be just fine. And I'll be just in. They tell a story about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If it's not about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it could have been about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But I think it is about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And they asked him, they were like setting up the bakery, the matzah factory, one of the matzah factories in Yerushalayim. And they said to Shlomo Zalman, what are the chumras that you have? Tell me some of the chumras you want us to be extra careful about when we bake the matzahs. And he said, treat the ladies who are kneading the dough extra kindly. Be extra kind to them. That's my chumra. Okay? That was Shlomo Zalman. Okay. There's a Haggadah, which I don't know if it's new, but it's new for me. I got it this year. The Rav Druk Haggadah. I love Rav Yisrael Meir Druk's Divrei Torah. And I have for you three ideas, I think, from Rav Druk. One in the English and two in the Hebrew. Really, really beautiful stuff. Rav Druk writes in source number 4, and I think there's a few different ideas. Okay? V'hi Shamda. Like we said, we're going to say V'hi Shamda with a lot of Hislavas this year. So he says as follows. Yet another explanation of the words V'hi Sha'amda, right? What do we say? V'hi Sha'amda la'vasinu v'lanu, right? This is the thing that stands up for us, right? When we're ready, you know, every single year, and that as Hashem continues to protect us, right? Is that these words are referring to the phrase that follows, right? What has stood by our fathers for us, the very fact that Shelo Echa Bilvar Amalim L'chalosenu, sorry, El Shebechol Devador Om Delim L'chalosenu, right? The fact that sorry, let me back up. We say there's a certain thing, v'hi sha'amda. This is the thing that stands up for us. Right? There's a certain something, v'hi sha'amda. And what happens? Because in every generation, they try to destroy us. And Kadosh Baruch Hu matzlinu miyadam, and Hashem protects us. So the question everybody, that all the Mefarshim ask is, what's the he? What's the thing that stands for us? Right? What is that thing? So one pshat is, What is that thing that actually allows us to last and to continue to thrive generation after generation? It is it's the fact that in every generation they attack us. Okay, check it out. The hatred and persecution of the nations toward us have preserved us and enabled us to remain strong in our faith and know that we are Hashem's children and His holy chosen nation. The suffering the Jewish people have endured throughout the generations at the hands of the nations is actually what has caused us to flourish. As the Pasuk testifies, V'kashia enuoso, kein yerbeh v'chein yiprotz. As much as Egypt tried to afflict Am Yisrael, what happened? We had more and more children and we flourished as a nation. The increase of the Jewish people did not necessarily occur through their higher birth rate, as was the case in Egypt. It was a result of their amunah and conviction that they are not connected to the non-Jews and bear no similarity to them. Similarly, regarding the verse, Laman hakimos chayom lo la'am, in order to establish you today as a people, Rashi comments that the curses and afflictions that they sustain, stain you and station you before him, meaning the suffering the Jewish people have experienced throughout the generations is what has enabled us to endure before Hashem. Accordingly, it is this, vihi, that has stood by our fathers. I think this is an important question to raise for the Seder. Right? I happen to think that it's true. The Nitziv writes this beferish. The Nitziv writes that one of the purposes of anti-Semitism, the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places anti-Semitism in the world, is because what happens in every generation at some point is we forget who we really are and we like to feel nice and cozy that we've been accepted amongst the nations of the world and we lose our identity. And the fact that then they say to us, actually, we don't want you, right? It actually causes us to rethink and remind ourselves of who we are. To think that we have not seen that over the past 6 months, we absolutely have, right? When the world says, we're not interested in you, we all of a sudden say, yeah, we know who we are, right? And all of a sudden we start to recognize who we are. And we stand up, and we put on tzitzis, and we have flags, and we do everything we can to remind ourselves of our identity. The more they tell us how much they hate our identity, and they hate who we are, is the more we double down on our identity. Someone just told me a story just today about a kid in a college who was wasn't attacked that bad, but he was bullied a little bit, harassed by some people. And the father said, I said to my kid, you should take your yarmulke off. And he said, absolutely not, I'm not taking my yarmulke off. He's not like, I'm not taking it off. Right? That a 20-year-old kid who says, you know, I'm not taking my yarmulke off, right? That happens because they attack us. And that's what Rav Druk wants to say. It is that allows us to stand up and be who we are. That's one shot. Another idea, to go to source 6 for a second, another much nicer, well, not nicer, but it's a very sweet vort that Rav Druk writes in the Hebrew version of the Haggadah. Why v'hi sha'am d'alavaseinu? Right? It should be v'hu sha'am d'alavaseinu. Why v'hi? It is usually in the Hebrew, it goes to Lashon Zachar, unless it's clearly meant to be feminine. So what's v'hi yesh ishol ma'adua nemar kan v'hi sha'am d'alavaseinu nekeva? Why did Am Yisrael leave Mitzrayim? It was not because of the men. It was because of the women. Right? It's the women who allow us to stand up. Right, Lashon Nekeva, absolutely, right, again, also so relevant this year. How many soldiers, brave soldiers, went out to the to hundreds of thousands of men who went out to fight, and by the way, women who also went out to fight, and how many hundreds of thousands of women, right, stayed home with their children all by themselves, right, and had to be there and had to be comfortable sending their husbands out to fight and lost their husbands, many of them, right, hundreds. Right, lost their husbands, who they sent out to battle and said, "Go, you have to go. That's what you have to do." And held down the fort in their homes for over many of them, 100 days, 120 days, 150 days. A very appropriate vort this year. V'hisha amda. It's the women who allow us to stand up and thrive even amongst the challenges.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What specifically was he referring to that, like, was the merit that the woman did when they were in Egypt that allowed them to
So it doesn't tell us. The truth is, that's like part of the whole problem, is that the phrase V'hisha amda lavaseinu is, and it's this. Some say it's the Torah. Like, what is the thing that has allowed us to stand for all this time? Because they get up and they attack us. And we just say, we pick up a cup of wine, and we say, V'hisha amda lavaseinu. And that's like the question. It's not specified what it is. And that's why there's 100 divorce. Mm-hmm. Explain what it is. But you're right, because that would be helpful. But it's not clear what it is.
So
that's why you can say a vort. Vihi means the women. But it could be, you know.
Question, what did the women do?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. What was it that they did?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Gemara says, sorry, thank you, Jeff. The Gemara says the thing that the Nashim Sekanos did was that when the men said, Amram says, we're not having any more children, the women went and said to their husbands, yes, we are. And so all the stories in Midrashim, that's the mirrors that are used in the, thank you. That's the mirrors that were used in the kior, right, for the wash basin, with the mirrors that the women used to make themselves look nice and go find their husbands when the husbands were so tired, they weren't interested. And that's one of the, yeah, thank you. That's what the Gemara means when it says, B'schus Nashim Sekanos, that they kept things going. Source number five, and a very cute idea, if you have the minhag to have eggs at your Seder, right? We have an egg in the Seder plate, but we also have eggs. Many eat eggs at the Seder. My family has that minhag. Chasam Sofer, Kasav, Tam Nosav, Leminag Zesh, Achilas Beitza, Belila Seder. Why do we eat an egg at the Seder? Vuhu ki Am Yisrael, Nimshal Beitza. Am Yisrael is like an egg. Why? Ma Beitza, Shekol, Shemevashim, Osa, Kach, Nases, Kashe, Yoser. The more you boil an egg, what happens? Just gets stronger. It just gets stronger. Right? Isn't that great, beautiful? Now you understand why I love a joke. That's a beautiful word, right? I mean, Chassam Sofer says it. But Kain Am Yisrael, Kachol Shem Ma'anim Oso, Kain Yifeh V'chein Yifrot. You can push us and you can make us, you can threaten us and you can tell us you're going to destroy us. And what's going to happen? You'll just get stronger. Sorry, guys. It's not going to go. It's not going to work. Kufisha Perish Rashi, it's a pasuk, Kain Yirbeh, Ruach HaKodesh Omeris Kain, right? That's Kadosh Baruch Hu said it. Atam Omrim Pen Yirbeh, Vani Omer, Kain Yirbeh. Right, you say you don't want them to, and they do. Anyway, that's what ends up happening. Okay. Another idea. This one I can't take credit for. My wife heard this idea. Chani heard this idea from Rav Binyamin Wolf, who's a Rebbe in Isha Torah in Chappelle's, quoting from Rav Elazar Ashkenazi. A very, very, I think also very beautiful. I probably think it's beautiful. So I'm sharing with you. But he said the following idea. We say about Lavan that Lavan bikesh lakor es hakol. What? Paro wanted to only kill the boys, but Lavan wanted to kill all of us. It's like, what? Lavan wanted to kill all the Jews? Like, is that true? Like, we don't really find that per se, that he wanted to destroy Am Yisrael or destroy Yaakov and all the children. It's not really clear exactly what he wanted to do. He's a bad guy. But why Lavan b'hish lakor es hakol? So he says a beautiful idea. You don't have it in the sheets. He says, what do we say about the, we say in the benching, right? We say, bakol, Bakol mikol kol, right? Why do we say that? That each of the avos said, right? When Yaakov Avinu, Hashem birachas Avraham, Bakol, Hashem gave him everything, right? When Yaakov beats Esav, Esav says Yeshli Rav, I have a lot, and Yaakov says Yeshli Kol, right? The avos all say by Yitzchak also says Lashon Kol, that we say when Esav says I have a lot means, but I want more, yeah. And Yaakov says, I'm fine, Yeshli Kol, I'm good, I'm fine. And he says that, what was really happening, what's the machlokas, or what's the battle between Yaakov and Lavan? It's a battle of midos, right? More than anything else. It's not a physical battle, right? Lavan is of the ability, you know, of the opinion, you can come work for me and I'll pay you nothing, right? Because why? I need more for myself. Right? Lavan is of the, says, okay, yeah, you'll work 14 years, and after 14 years, what have you done? All you paid for is your wives, and you haven't made any money for yourself. You want to work for me, I'll give you nothing, right? I'll give you the spotted speckled sheep, whatever, right? Lavan is always in it for himself to gather as much as he can. Yaakov is of opinion of, I have a lot, that's great, but I have what I need. I'm fine, I'm good. So what do we say? Lavan bikesh lakor es hakol. Lavan wanted to uproot the midah of hakol, the midah of, I'm fine with what I have. I don't need more. I just have what I need. And
who said that?
This is Rav. His name is Rav Elazar Ashkenazi. I don't know who that is, but that's a very beautiful idea. And that's also another very. But he says that's why in Tseyomad, what do we say? We say Tseyomad, right? We remember what Lavan tried to do to us, and Yaakov has Yerusha Vakol, right? And we talk about being free, Right? What does it mean to be free? So we think free means I can do whatever I want. Right? No, to be free means not to feel that I'm meshubar, I'm enslaved to that, the need for more. Right? The need for more. And to be free person, to be a ben chorin, a ben chorin is a person who says, you know, I'm actually fine. I don't have to run after the next thing. I'm good. That's a very difficult midah. That's a very difficult thing to do. But a ben chorin, a person who's free, it's a person who's not running, constantly looking for more and more and more to gather and gather and gather. It's a person who feels, I'm fine. I'm good enough. And that's why, by the way, when we eat the Or Kohen Pesach, what do? We don't leave over any of it. Why? Because I recognize, I know, well, I won't have anything for tomorrow. And the answer is, you'll have for tomorrow. You have to worry. It'll be fine. Tomorrow will come. They'll figure out tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You're so worried. All right, so we have those, that, and the same thing, you don't break the bones of the Korban Pesach, you don't eat like a ravenous person. It's eaten, you just eat a kazayas. Right? I have just enough. I have just what I need. I don't need extra. I don't need to pile it on. I'm totally good. Okay. You have room for one or two more ideas. Source number 7 is a very nice Haggadah called The Night That Unites by Aaron Goldscheider. Rabbi Goldscheider's father, I believe, became the rabbi in my grandfather's shul after my grandfather passed away. So his father became the rabbi after my grandfather. So we don't really know each other, but I always say these things. I have such a connection because he's also from North Belmore. So he writes the following. One traditional interpretation as to why one of God's names is Hamakom, right? So one of the things we say, Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, right? So we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hamakom. It's a very funny thing to think. What do we call Hashem Hamakom? And a shiva house, right? Hamakom Minachem Minachem. So Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. What do you think about Hashem as Hamakom? What does that mean? So is the idea that God is Mikomo Shel Olam. Hashem is the place of the world. The interpretation of this is that God embraces the universe or that the universe is within God. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that there's another way to look at this. God is called the place or the home. To be homeless does not mean that a person does not have a roof over his head. Someone can have a strong roof and feel secure in his home, but can still remain exposed, insecure, and vulnerable. The only home where man can find security is within Hashem, which is why a person who's close to Hashem feels that he's protected by his guiding hand. That person is a person who truly is at home. This is the experience of knowing God is Hamakom, right? Feeling that God is Hamakom, meaning when I know the Ribono Shel Olam is in charge, and I have that sense of like, I don't know what's happening, I don't know what this is, I don't know where this is going, but he's figuring it out. And having that sense, which is not so easy always, but have that sense of reliance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same way a child, right? When you're your kid in the car, right? Your kid in the car. So like, you ever notice, you might notice this, if your child starts to learn how to drive and you're taking them around, so theoretically, and you're driving around places and they're like, which way do I go? I'm like, you've been here like a million times. Why don't you know which way to go, right? And what's the answer?
Someone else is driving.
When someone else is driving, I don't have to pay so much attention. I don't have to be so worried. Right? I can just kind of let someone else drive, right? That is the feeling of a young child with their parent driving. I don't have to worry so much. They're not like, right? And if they are, it's like not healthy, right? The kid's like, do you know where to go? Do you make a right? Did you make a left? Like, if a kid would be like that, you'd be like, stop. Like, just, I got it, right? Right? So like, right? The mashal, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, is the driver. He's the driver. He knows where he's going. We don't. So we're like, why'd you make a left? You should have made a right. Like, what are you... If your kid would be like, shut up, stop it. I know what I'm doing, right? So, Ki'ilu, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows where he's going. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the directions. We don't know the directions, so we're confused, right? But we need to be more the child who's sitting and, you know, again, we can question, we can be confused at times. But sometimes the sense of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a HaMakom, it gives us a little bit of that sense. I'm going to go to the last word first before just to make sure we don't run out of time, and then hopefully I'll come back to Melech's idea. The last idea, we're not going to read inside, is a story that I tell the story every year, usually multiple times. I love this story, but I think the reason I like to tell the story is because it reminds us of what our goal is at the Seder. The story is as follows. The Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzchak Bardichev. If you were at the Parashat Shir this week, I apologize. He tells a story. He used to walk around Bardichev listening to the siddurim of the other Jews in town. You ask stories about like Hasidic Rebbes. Don't ask stories like, what was his family doing? I don't know. But that, he would walk around. His kids were like, Abba, like, no. Fine, but he would walk around and he would listen to the sounds of other people's siddurim. And he heard a Jew, right? He heard a Jew. You've heard me tell you this before. A Jew going, Echad Chacham. Echad Rasha. Echad Tam. And so someone said to say this, someone said to him, like, why are you talking like that? He said, my father always told me that when you say Echad, you say Echad. Okay, so that's nonsense, right? What are you that's when you say Shema, Shema Yisrael Shem Kenei Hashem Echad. And we have to say the Dalet to be careful not to say a Resh, whatever. So the initial feeling, so that's I'm all right, guys, know what he's doing. It's silly, nonsense. The Bedishver said, no, that guy, he understands the whole Seder. The whole goal of the Seder is to get through Shema Yisrael Shem Kenei Hashem Echad. That's the goal of the Seder. The goal of the Seder is to recognize Echad Mi Yodea. Right, that we spend time at the Seder, right? Vorts are nice, like we said, but vorts, I guess, to talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that God runs the world. The goal of the Seder is to talk about Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, right? And we sing the fun songs at the end, we should stop everybody and remind them. Chad, Dad, Yad, Kla Yisrael, right? Echad Miyodea, who knows Hashem, right? Do we know Hashem? Do we pay attention to Hashem? Do we talk about Hashem, right? Our whole lives revolve around Hashem. That's the goal. So this Jew who says Echad, Tom, right? So he got it already. Said the Levi. So the Levi, it's like he used to always be melamed tzchus on people. So he was, you know, that's why he said what he said. But the point is, right? The point isn't what the guy was saying in the house. The point is what Levi tzchus said. That's the whole point of the Seder, and that our goal should be at the Seder to get to the Echad. And I'll end with one last idea, which I love. Rav Malach Biderman, source number 8, asked the question: why is it called Shabbat Hagadol, the Big Shabbos? So it's called Shabbos Gadol because we went and we took the sheep that Shabbos and we brought it to our houses and the Mitzrim didn't attack us. That was great. But he says, perhaps we can suggest another answer as well. On this Shabbos, people often have to give up their usual habits. This year, it's very true. Okay, it's just almost Erev Pesach. In deference to the fact that the house is being ready for Pesach. Maybe instead of challahs, they're just small rolls. And instead of eating at the comfort of the dining room, the students are being held in the cramped kitchen, the hallway, or outside on the porch. People sometimes dig their heels in during such situations, insisting that change is wrong and they need to show proper respect for the Shabbos and its meals by treating the Shabbos as all others, whatever the cost to those around them. They want to eat the regular foods in a regular place. It might sound holy, but it is wrong. What is right is to be mevater, to respect the will of others and conduct the Shabbos in a way that makes it easier for the ones charged with preparing for Pesach. Being mevater is what makes a person big. So this Shabbos gives us a chance to be a gadol, to be big. Rav Arla Belzer was once traveling by taxi. He had to bend over to enter the car. To move forward, he reflected, a person has to sometimes bend over. The Yismach Yisrael, Rav Yachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak Alexander explained the power of the mikvah in this way. A person has to crouch and bend themselves to be submerged by the water, and that is the act itself is part of purity. Before Pesach, we get this gift, a Shabbos HaGadol, a Shabbos in which we can be great. And the way to be great is by submitting to the needs of those around us. So as we head off and prepare ourselves for a wonderful Shabbos, Bezer Hashem, and a wonderful Yontif, we should have these two ideas in mind. We should be gedolim by being willing to be mevatel and let things go and sit where we need to sit and do what we need to do and help how we need to help to make things better for other people and make sure that we don't forget that the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of the Seder night is to have a Shabbos, a Seder that's about Echad. About the Kadosh Baruch Hu and how Am Yisrael connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu will live on forever. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Very similar to the ideas that you said by Rabbi Yaakov.